Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to another episode of Nick and Garrett Get Serious About Jokes. I'm Nick.
And I'm Garrett.
And we are back with another episode. Sorry about last week. I know y'all were crouched around your phones waiting for that new upload that never came. And we apologize for that. And we'll make up for it by packing twice the amount of action in this episode.
The return episode.
Yeah. You thought we were gone, but no, we've returned, so... big news, a couple of things. Are you familiar with the Kill Tony podcast? I was on it. They came to Nashville. Yeah. Me and, Matt Taylor.
Right.
Who's, another Nashville comic, but based here out of Murfreesboro. We were the only local comics that were called up on the stage. And I'm not sure when that episode is going to be, downloaded on YouTube. We will be up there. I think Matt goes on, like, he's like the third person.
Yeah.
And I'm like the sixth or seventh person.
That's awesome. There.
Yeah. So, look for that.
I saw his post on Facebook and I saw he'd done it and I was like, oh, neat. But I didn't know that you did it. So that's tight, man.
I posted, I think Matt, when he posted his on Facebook, he like posted a whole new thing. Whereas I just posted on Instagram and then I just clicked the button automatically. And I think that sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah,
show up as prominently as people's timeline, but yeah. So that's one part of the good news. Another piece of good news, and because we were talking about this yesterday, like I didn't want to say it because I kind of wanted to announce it on the pod. But we got a show in Murfreesboro. Matt and I we met up on Monday, and we went to Liquid Smoke in Murfreesboro, and we got a once a month showcase.
It's
gonna be the second Monday of every month. The first one we're gonna have is gonna be in September. We don't have it booked yet, but we because it's at Liquid Smoke, we're gonna call it Smokes and Jokes. And
that's perfect.
We're gonna get Sarah Dalton, another local comic, is gonna do the artwork for the flyers and stuff.
Dang. Okay.
Yeah. So it'll be good on that, and we're gonna have like these free beer tokens for the best set of the night, and then we're also gonna give out beer tokens to the best audience member of the night. So,
oh, that's neat.
Yeah, yeah. Also, too, a little bit of live podcasting. My roommate's here, so if we hear some noises in the background, it makes it more real. You know, it doesn't have to. Not every. We're out in the streets, basically. We're doing this gritty style. We're not in a climate controlled
podcast of the people.
We're just getting. Yeah.
It's authentic.
This is Hey, I mean, I feel like we're this is the people's podcast. I think we can honestly say that. So, but yeah, man. So we got the new showcase coming up, and I guess we can discuss this on the air. I think. The May Day comedy night is kind of up for grabs as well at May Day Brewery, which is local brewery. So I think if we can do like a once a month Friday showcase there, maybe rebrand it, redo it, just have it like all stand up instead of improv and stand up and really try to get done in an hour and a half instead of stretching it out to 2 hours. And I don't know, but it's just something to think about.
Yeah, that's tight.
So big things there. All right, so we wanted to try to switch it up a little bit and do like a blank versus blank podcast where we compare comedians that are similar, maybe not alike, but they have something about them that you can kind of associate together. So like Bill Burr and Louis C.K., right? They're both redheaded comics out of Boston. But it seems like if you like one, you're going to like the other.
Right.
Comedy-wise. So we'll do something where we talk about those two. And then Dimitri Martin and Bo Burnham also have their own voice. But they kind of do similar things where they're playing with style and genre, and it's not just about the jokes they present, but they bring in props, but in a a different way.
Yeah.
When we think of prop comics. So, I think let's because since Dimitri Martin's new special just came out, and I'm not finished watching it, but I saw it, saw part of it, and it kind of reminded me of Bo Burnham. But I've seen Dimitri Martin live, and I've seen his other specials, and so I feel like we can just kind of dive into this conversation, and it's not necessarily to see who's better, but just have that compare and contrast so that is a technique to talk about them.
Yeah.
So, I feel like I've talked so much. What's your take on the two?
Well, I like both of them. They're both good comics. My preference is like my favorite is Bo Burnham of those two, but they definitely have a lot of similarities in the way that you described, and also the way that they try and bring their sort of personal struggles and put it into their comedy.
Yeah.
They're definitely not comedy purists where, you know, there's certainly a number of comedians who think just get up there and tell jokes.
Yeah.
And that's it. And say whatever you have to say to get a laugh and it doesn't matter. And we don't care about you. Whereas there are other comics, and I feel like they tend to be younger comics, that get up and they are funny, but also they imbue their comedy with their own struggles or jokes about things that they're actually dealing with. I think they both do that pretty well. And the sort of like, you know, constantly thinking, like, anxiety-ridden sort of mindset that I think a lot of young people have.
Yeah.
And so I think because of that, they resonate largely with people in their similar age group, because I think it's something that a lot of people around that, you know, age tend to have those sort of similar anxieties that they put in and like showcase in their comedy. So yeah. It's a little bit more of something that they can latch onto.
Yeah. I agree with that. I mean, I think Dimitri Martin is probably a decade or so older.
True, yeah.
And I think, I almost feel like he was like almost like a prototype, and then Bo Burnham has kind of built on it and made it like a better version, like a more, well, I don't say better, but like a more evolved version.
Yeah.
Like taking Dimitri Martin's ideas and adding music and adding,
yeah,
you know, but it's that same, it's comedy, but it's comedy about comedy and,
yeah,
you know.
Another thing, yeah, now that you mention it, because of their age difference, one thing that Bo Burnham has unique to him is his come up is like, it was simultaneous with like internet culture coming up,
mm-hmm,
you know, because he started out on YouTube when YouTube wasn't super big, and he became like, you know, an internet sensation. He had viral videos. And so that's really where he got his start. He was also, I think he was at like the first YouTube Live, which is like a big, big deal at the time, because it was like YouTube, but like in real life.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's the first time this thing that was online had become something that was actually tangible. And so that is, I think, a big part of something that makes him different is that, you know, he was sort of becoming popular at the same time these, you know, things like on the internet and you know, these changes were happening. So that affects his comedy as well.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. I mean, I think since he's like one of your favorites, I think you definitely know more than I do about Bo Burnham. I know his, I mean, I've just seen his specials, but I think that I will say, shifting back to Dimitri Martin, yeah, I feel as if when I saw him, I do remember him being so much funnier than his opener, who was also funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really, it was the first time I had been struck at the difference between like, oh, this is why this guy goes second, because he's like it was, you know, and I feel as if both comics, like if someone just said to me, like describe both of these comics on paper, I don't know how much I would really be like, man, I really want to watch their, you know, their stand-up special. Yeah. I think I'd want to read a book by him, like, yeah, you know, humor essays, but yeah, I definitely enjoy both. It seems like I haven't seen Eighth Grade, but I mean, I know Bo Burnham wrote that, and I guess, did you direct it too?
I think so. I'm not sure. I haven't seen it yet either. I've been meaning to.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. He definitely wrote it.
Yeah, he seems to have taken that next step.
Yeah.
It's kind of evolved, which I think is kind of.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've heard him talk about it a little bit, and it's sort of like he was talking about like some of his more recent specials where he's like trying to deal with like his anxiety by doing something alone on a stage.
Yeah.
And he was like, that didn't work. So he wanted to do something different, which is interesting because it's very, very different. Like, and then it also sprang from his comedy with middle school girls or middle school people telling him like, we understand what you feel, even though he didn't expect them to have that, have that resonance with him.
Yeah.
So it definitely is really interesting. Another thing that they do similarly is like they both use music I consider it like padding, to be honest, because like Dimitri Martin will like play his guitar, but he's not really singing. He'll just talk as he's like playing.
Yeah.
And it sort of makes it more entertaining I think it makes like a good joke better. Like a good joke, great, okay, and then like an okay joke, like passable, and you don't really notice it. And I think the same thing happens with Bo Burnham. He has a lot of songs that are really good, but there are also parts of them that, like, if you said that, like, if you just got up as a comic just said that, people would be like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, well, and I think, too, the when you said padding, I initially thought that you meant, like just taking up time to make it longer. But you mean padding in the sense of it enhances the quality of what it means. So it works well. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's sort of like something where there's certain lines that, for example, like in a Bo Burnham song, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but like some of them are just like, it's like they're like puns and like in the song, they work fine and the song is good. But like if you got up and you were like,
oh, yeah,
this line, people would be like, ah, it's cheesy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, because they're like, they're in a song, they're made to rhyme, there's music, you kind of forgive the text of it.
Well, and they sell it too.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that there's something about comedic music that you've got to sell maybe even more than just regular comedy.
Yeah.
I think you have to lean in completely in a way that you may not have to if you are doing a sort of one-liner joke like that Dimitri Martin, likes to do. But if you're going to add music to it, you don't have to sing it, but I think there has to be a commitment there that the audience feels. And so they both do that well.
Almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a weird comparison, but I like with Bo Burnham stuff in particular, it kind of strikes me a little bit as like rap lyrics in a way, or not all, but like, if you've ever gone back and like read a song, like when you're listening to it, it's like, there's music behind it and it sounds cool. And the guy is saying it with all this like passion and stuff. And like, it's just like fun.
Yeah.
And then you read the lyrics and sometimes you're just like, this is so like dumb.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that the things that they write are dumb, but like, it's a thing where because of everything that's around it, you don't pay as much attention to the like individual like words of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think if everything is stripped away, I mean, I guess, and I think that that's kind of that music versus poetry debate where, or not, I don't say debate, but I feel like with music, it's so much more important to have the timing and the melodies kind of work together,
right?
The background stuff, and sometimes when you just see the words naked on a page, they don't go as well. It's like, that's why. Not all good songs make for good poetry and vice versa. You know what I mean? So it's an interesting thing. But I have not just read Bo Burnham's lyrics, but it kind of makes me want to check them out a little bit. I might look. Do you want to go to Louis C.K. versus Bill Burr?
Yeah, let's do it. All so right. Louis C.K. versus Bill Burr, like you said, both out of Boston, both redheaded. Yeah. That really has affected their comedy. I feel like I'm going to have the quote-unquote right answer, but that's because I felt this way before the whole incident. I prefer Bill Burr of the two of them.
Yeah, yeah.
But I definitely, I mean, they're both pretty great. I'm trying to think.
I was looking up some of the lyrics, yeah. They are different. I'm listening though.
I feel like I don't know, like they both do like stories and stuff, but they don't do like impressions really.
No,
not. So it's more of like the comedy comes from the way they can like have interesting sort of ideas about what happened as opposed to like a silly voice.
Yeah, yeah. I think that when it comes to the two, I feel as if Louis C.K., the first time I heard him, I thought he is like one of the best comics I'd ever heard. Not saying the same with Bill Burr, but I would have put Louis C.K. higher than Bill Burr.
Mm-hmm.
But I think after seeing several of their specials, I've kind of switched, and my roommate disagrees. But I feel like I've switched. You might agree with this. I've switched my position the more that I've watched both of their specials more.
Yeah.
I feel as if Burr, I feel like his jokes seem to hold up a little bit better because they seem to be easier to sort of repeat and bring back into conversation.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, I mean, when you see all of like I think Louis C.K.'s, enough of his jokes are dirty enough to where you laugh at them, you may recall them, but it's hard to necessarily smoothly work them into a discussion.
Yeah, you really can't talk about them at like breakfast.
No, and now you really can. It's really hard to.
Yeah.
Yeah. But. I don't know. Good.
You're not going to be with your family and be like, dude, Louis C.K. has this great masturbation bit.
No, you're not.
You wouldn't before, but now you're definitely.
Now you're really not.
Even if you have like a really like open family, definitely not even now.
Well, yeah, I mean, he does have this one story about the ponies, his daughters and the pony.
The ponies? I don't think.
He takes them to like Italy, and like the pony bites her, bites one of his daughters, and he didn't want to make her feel bad, like she's the only person a pony's ever bitten. So he was like, "Oh, they do this all the time." And then she goes, "Why'd you let me near it?" And he was just like, "Oh." And then he went online. He was like looking things up, and he goes, "You know, do ponies bite people a lot?" And then he was just looking at the answers, and someone was like, "If your pony bites someone, just punch it in the face." And then someone else was like, "You should have your ponies taken away." And the third person was like, "People who don't punch their ponies make me sick." And I do feel like that bit works really well.
Yeah, I feel like you could say that to anyone.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. His bit about it's like a Greek figure. I can't remember who it is, but it was the person his mother dipped him in the river Styx.
Oh, Achilles.
Achilles. And then he had like that's where Achilles' heel comes from.
Yeah.
Because that was the only spot he wasn't immortal.
Yeah.
And his bit about that where like he's talking with his daughter and she's like, why don't he just dip his, you know, turn upside down? And it's like, oh yeah, that's a good point. But also like, what's enough for you people? that's another example of like, you know, some of his jokes that you could definitely bring up in a conversation. It's interesting that you mentioned like, your first impressions of them, because I feel like I had something that was kind of like the opposite.
Oh, really?
Because, like, when I watched Louis C.K., I'm like, this guy's great. But, like, when I first watched Bill Burr, I had to, like, watch everything else that I could get, like, all the rest of his specials and stuff.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because I thought, like, oh, this guy is so, so funny. And so Yeah, I guess almost from a different, from the other side.
Is it? Yeah, well, man, I think I could, I definitely could see that. I mean, and I think that that's what makes them so good to compare, because you really could, I mean, get the same, you can get opposing view, and it doesn't seem like one is more right than the, you know what I mean? Like, as I think with some with some comics that are alike or similar, there seems to be like sometimes like a clear right answer, and I don't know if that's the case with Burr and CK.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anything else to add on that?
I think we said it all. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I do want to talk about our two comics where there does seem to be a very clear right answer. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually in the minority on this, but the whole Leno Letterman debate, yeah. I mean, they're both off the air essentially, at least as late night hosts, so it's not even, the debate's kind of moot, but I mean, it seems like, you know, it kind of stretches back 30 years, you know, if you think of, you know, who should have taken over the Tonight Show and things like that, or almost 30 years. Yeah. And I feel as if Letterman is definitely the more influential. And even though he's probably the crankier, probably the more likable person because he seems more genuine. Mm-hmm. But I think comedy-wise, for me in terms of stand-up, like I feel as if Leno has been more influential to me, mm-hmm. because his sort of rapid-fire joke-telling system, like his way of doing it, always engaged me more than Letterman kind of doing his cranky old man thing and then riffing a little bit. It seemed like Leno was more entertaining. Maybe he wasn't as funny to maybe like a certain type of comic or people grew up with a certain background, because I know Letterman is from Indiana. He kind of has that Midwest sort of sensibility, and I think people who have that similar background really relate to Letterman. But for me, I think Leno is this sort of East Coast comedian, jokes, I talk fast, I get my rhythm, I get my pacing, I get my timing. And so I feel like Leno is, even though the wrong answer seems to be Leno consensus-wise, I mean, I know Letterman is more inspiring to the current crop of talk show hosts and late night, but I feel like Leno is more for me, though. So, anyway, just wanted to talk about that.
It brings up, like, an interesting, like, you know, kind of question, which is, like, how efficient, I guess, do you want your stand-up to be? Because there are people who, they get up there and it's like joke, pause for laughter, laughter stops, joke, pause for laughter stops, joke, and it's just that for like a while. But there's other people who are more, there's more fat in their jokes, I guess you could say, where like there's stuff that isn't necessary, but they keep it in, and maybe it's something that enhances, you know, their character or their personality. You know, for some people, like they'll maybe go off or whatever and do things that aren't necessarily a joke, but it's in service of maybe what they, you know, the character that they're building as opposed to a joke. And I feel like you can see that with different comics, like you can tell like, you know, how choreographed and planned out their special is, mm-hmm. you know, and some people you see and it's like, oh, they have everything written down. Like everything has a certain way of doing things. And then some people, you know, it just seems like they have everything that they want to say, but also, like, it's probably a little different each time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like that might be an interesting contrast.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think Leno is probably more robotic and constrained, and I think Letterman is more, or was more, you know, freewheeling, and it definitely shows. And Letterman too is more of an attitude comic, I feel like. I think he's similar to Conan in that regard, where it's not the joke itself as much as it's them selling the joke and everything around the joke that, that comes with the joke. Whereas I feel like with Leno, it's all about timing and delivery and then getting on to the next joke and kind of keeping it that way. So,
I agree. I think that's what I was trying to say is that, you know, it's, you know, some of the things that they say sometimes aren't, you know, the jokes are funny, but like because of their character that they're selling, that's also, sometimes that's the most funny part.
Yeah, I agree, I mean, I feel like I remember Conan more. Maybe it'd be a better Conan Leno thing, but yeah, it seems like it's just Coney's goofiness that really makes it, makes things so good. Now, you had two comics that you wanted to compare.
Yeah, actually, I just thought of, I think these would be a good comparison. Right, so, Anthony
Jeselnik
versus Jimmy Carr. I think that would be interesting because they're both like quote-unquote offensive comedians.
Yeah.
That's sort of like their hook, the thing that people are like. You know, if you're going to... If someone talks about Anthony Jeselnik, it's probably going to be like, how scandalous he said this thing, and that's why I'm repeating it, I guess. And they're both like, I guess, notorious for being offensive and like very... he went there, I guess. So I guess that's... You know, something they have in common. I feel like something that is different. I feel like Anthony Jeselnik is a little bit more formulaic. Everything he, all of his jokes, pretty much follow a very like laid out format. Up until like his most recent special that I've seen, it's all just, it's all only jokes. And, like, he doesn't have, you know, like, in comparison to, like, we were talking earlier about comics who, like, talk about their personal struggles. Like, he doesn't do any of that. Like, he doesn't want you to like him because his whole bit is that he's an asshole. Up until, like, his last special, he did some jokes about some things that had been happening to him that made him a little bit more... relatable, I guess, but it was still from his perspective of like, you know, still that sort of persona. Whereas Jimmy Carr, I think, is a little bit more like not so formulaic, a little bit more freeform.
Interesting. Okay. Now, yeah, I mean, I've seen some of Anthony. I'm obviously not a lot since I'm mispronounced his name, putting the emphasis in the wrong place. But and I've seen Jimmy Carr show up on my Netflix suggestions, but I've never watched them. But I do know about Anthony Jeselnik being very, you know, kind of his, you know, humor. The edginess of it is what kind of you know helps out a lot.
Yeah, that's the thing that I like most about him is because there are a lot of comedians, I think, especially like people who are like just starting to get into comedy. They'll come up and they're like, "Hey, I got this great abortion joke."
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, everyone's making like offensive jokes. Those aren't funny.
Yeah.
But Anthony Jeselnik is funny because he is one of the best at being offensive.
Yeah. Like, so, it's still a misdirection.
Yeah. You know? I mean, But I think the thing that I like about him is that like how like far out can he get? Like how over the top? It's just, it's funny because it's extravagant and sort of indulgent and like how much of a dick can I be?
Yeah.
As opposed to like other, you know, sort of run of the mill comics who will make a joke and it's like supposed to be funny because it's offensive. I feel like in a place where everyone does that, that's watered down and doesn't have effect. So in order to get seen, you have to almost go over and beyond. And I feel like he does that better than most.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, again, you know more about them than I do. But yeah, it's so funny because I can't think of too many offensive comics locally.
Yeah. It's not really my, it's not really the type of comedy that I typically enjoy.
Yeah.
Anthony Jeselnik's basically the only comic of that, you know, cast that I can stand.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if there's a whole lot, I wouldn't say that there's a whole lot locally, that are like a lot of local comedians who are, you know, focused on being offensive. But I will say that I see a lot of people at open mics who come up and they're like, hey, I killed my grandma last night. And it's just like they always flop and it's like never funny.
Right, right, yeah.
And usually those are the people that like leave right after their set because they had just decided to try comedy and it didn't go well.
No. Yeah, it is amazing because I think that offensive type of humor. I thought of one guy, who's local. But I think it's tough to really get booked on shows starting out.
Yeah.
Because unless you're going to go last, it's like, damn, now you're going to have to, like the guy after you or the girl after you is going to have to get the audience back.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't want to give people an excuse not to be there. Not
yeah.
To show up. But I'd say a local comic, Shane Bianchi.
Yeah.
I'd say he's probably the only one who kind of is playing that. I mean, the thing is that like he's so nice off stage. Like I've never heard him say even like in a joking way anything offensive or mean off stage.
Yeah.
But like he definitely pushes the envelope on stage. I just think it's tricky because I've only ever seen him perform in front of other comics who know him and who are kind of in on the joke.
Right.
I wonder how it would play at a you know, Zany's or just in a general crowd. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like,
I think that is an interesting question because sometimes people get off the hook because that's just David and he's an asshole and he says all these things, but we know he doesn't mean it. Whereas like if someone just walked up you heard this person saying the things that he's saying, you might be like, oh my God, you're the worst person ever.
But, right, right. Yeah.
So it might be if the more shows he does in front of just like a regular audience, it might be beneficial to him to have a bit up front to like gain what's the word?
Yeah,
to like gain a little of the doubt. Rapport, like
mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure how one does that, but I can definitely say that like when you see it, you know what it like you know it when you see it. Because like that's how a lot of people get away with saying the things that they say, because it's like, oh well, this person, you know, we don't have to take that seriously because we know this person's character.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I don't know how to do that either, because I mean, what do you say to an audience to kind of make them okay to, you
yeah.
know, to kind of let them know that whenever you talk, when you, whatever you're about to say that's offensive or potentially offensive, that it's going to be cool.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think one way you can do it, this is a pretty basic way, but just as mean and rude as you're going to be to other people, you should like maybe start out being equally as mean and rude to yourself.
Yeah.
Because if you could get up and like say all these terrible things about yourself, and then you can start going into other things. Instead of people going, wow, this is a bad person who's like insulting all these other things, it's like, well, he's actually, I mean, it's fair because this person's just really aggressive in general. And he just, you know, gave himself a turn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it feels a little bit, I feel like that helps. I'm sure there's other ways to do it, but that's one thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that is one way. I think another way is because I think Chance is a little bit like this as well, where some of his jokes can dance on that line. I think if it's clear that's one of a number of types of jokes or number of types of humor that you're tapping into, you can kind of get away with it for a 2-minute bit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? 2.5-minute bit where
right.
you're because they think that they have faith that you're going to go back to or go to a different type of joke or a different type of humor. So
that makes sense.
I think that that's another thing that makes it interesting. I like this format. I like this idea of that compare and contrast. I think I'm not sure what, but we'll have to watch or maybe not even watch a special, but or two, but at least try to come up with some, another type of either or, compare contrast, yeah, compare and contrast type of discussion, because we didn't even get to everything that we could have gotten to even today.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think we're at the 35 minute mark. What do you say? You think that's...
I feel like we made an episode.
And I think too, we made up for last week.
Oh yeah,
you know, being there. So, all right, beautiful people, we release you. Go out into the world. Have a safe and sexy weekend.